Why a financial company looked at the Rolling Stones and thought, retirement. I'm David Brancaccio in New York. There's news the Trump administration will pay U.S. farmers in a different way who've been hurt by the trade war. Starting Monday, farmers can sign up to receive their share of a $16 billion aid package with payouts ranging from $15 to $150 an acre. And on this round, what farmers receive will depend a lot on where they live. Marketplace's Justin Ho is on that story today and joins us now. Justin, why don't you start with the lay of the land?
Yeah, so American farmers have been hit hard by the trade war. China has been the biggest buyer of U.S. soybeans, for instance, and as we've reported, those American soybean exports are way down. They hit a 16-year low in 2018. So the administration's solution is pay the farmers. The USDA says they've analyzed historical data and came to those payment rates by looking at what farmers would have sold without the trade war. The Trump administration had a similar program last year.
But there are some key changes on this round?
Yeah. After the last round, the administration was criticized for being too slow, for favoring certain crops. So now the USDA is capping the payments at $500,000 per applicant, and the amount will depend on the location, not the type of crop itself. The administration says that's a calculation of how hard each particular county has been hit by the trade war. And that seems to mean that southern farmers will get more aid than Midwestern farmers.
How's the aid package being received?
Well, farmers seem to generally want the aid, but the Illinois Farm Bureau put out a statement yesterday that said this isn't a long-term solution, that farmers prefer to earn their income from the market, not the government. The National Farmers Union said it's concerned about the county-by-county pay scale. And plus, in order to get these payments, farmers have to plant their crops by the middle of next week. And it has been a difficult planting season this year. It's been warm and wet, and that's made it difficult to plant anything.
Marketplace's Justin Ho, thank you. Let's do the numbers. The FTSE, London, up 0.6%. Dow and S&P futures here up 0.3%. Each NASDAQ future is up 0.5%. The dollar is up with a euro at 1.11. Southwest Airlines wants to get away from Newark Airport in New Jersey. The company announced yesterday it'll start operating out of only one airport in the New York area this fall. Its Newark routes don't make Southwest much money, so Marketplace's Ben Bradford reports the airline will place its planes elsewhere.
New Yorkers have strong feelings about their airports. Like many in the area, Susan D'Onofrio prefers Newark in New Jersey.
You know, it is the easiest, you know, to get in and out.
But D'Onofrio, an aviation analyst at Macquarie, says Southwest's decision to halt flights in November is practical.
United is just so dominant in Newark that, you know, Southwest just really just isn't getting the traction there.
And a reason to make the change now is that Southwest is short on airplanes because a lot of its fleet is made up of Boeing 737 MAXs, and those are grounded. In an earnings call, CEO Gary Kelly said this move frees up planes for more profitable routes, like the airline's new service to Hawaii.
This is a tactical decision forced by the MAX groundings.
In New York, Southwest will operate solely out of LaGuardia, where it already has twice as many flights as Newark. I'm Ben Bradford for Marketplace.
We have Amazon results April to June. Still lots of profit, but not a record high profit, breaking a string of profit highs quarter after quarter. Among Amazon's costs that cut into profits, well, delivering things to Prime customers in one day instead of two costs more. Amazon stock is down 1.5% pre-market.
Hey there, I'm Bridget, co-host of Million Bazillion, Marketplace's podcast for kids about money. I want to tell you about our email newsletter course, Million Bazillion Academy. In this new and improved course, we'll help your kids learn about crypto, credit cards, and inflation in just 6 weeks. Each lesson comes with a podcast episode, a fun cartoon, discussion questions, and an activity that lets kids apply what they're learning in the real world. You can start at any time and work at your own pace. Sign up today at marketplace.org/academy.
So Marketplace's senior economics contributor Chris Farrell goes to see a Stones concert in Chicago this summer. And what does this man learn there? Something about annuities? I'm not kidding. Chris joins us here in the Marketplace New York Bureau. Hi.
Hello, David.
So you go to the Stones at Soldiers Field, I guess, this summer. Concert had been delayed a few weeks. Why?
Mick Jagger was recovering from some heart surgery, but David, he danced and he pranced the concert.
Okay. And who's the sole sponsor of the concert? It's relevant here.
The Alliance for Lifetime Income. It's an industry group.
All right. So I will play Mick. You play the promotional copy on the sponsor's website. You ready?
Yep.
You can't always get what you want.
But you can get what you need when you have protected lifetime income in retirement.
Touts this Alliance for Lifetime Income, which brings us to this annuities discussion. Annuities, you know, you buy them as an investment. They keep paying until you die?
Until you die. It's a lifetime income.
And they're getting very popular in Washington these days. Do tell.
Well, there are two reasons. One is the population is getting older. Traditional pensions have largely disappeared. So if you're in a 401k, you get a lump sum payment. And there's this big fear among boomers, aging boomers, about outliving their money. Then you have a House bill and a Senate bill. The Senate bill is called the Secure Act, and it's to enhance retirement savings. And one of the most popular provisions in this Secure Act is to make it easier for 401k plans, for employers to offer their participants in the 401k the option to annuitize.
Now, look, annuities, it's the ironic human condition that with healthcare improvements, et cetera, some people live so long that they've exhausted their savings and an annuity would keep paying if you bought one.
That's right. But now I want to throw in the caveat. The question is, what are the details? What are the fees? What's the transparency? How many bells and whistles are going to be offered on these annuities? And when you look at the annuity business, you have to be wary.
You have to be wary in part because potentially high fees are counterproductive.
They are counterproductive. The other thing is, there is a wonderful annuity out there that you retire on, which is called Social Security. It's an inflation-adjusted annuity. And so there are other ways to improve your lifetime income. Work longer, delay taking Social Security. That can actually make a big difference. So one of the questions I have is, how many people does it really make sense to annuitize their 401k? But those people should have the option of thinking it through.
Marketplace senior economics contributor Chris Farrell and Rolling Stones superfan number one, Chris Farrell, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Our executive producer is Nicole Childers. Our digital producer is Miguel Contreras. Our engineer is Brian Allison in New York. I'm David Brancaccio. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.